I want, if this really came to my heart, when our sister Jaina prayed and read that scripture concerning worshipping the Lord and the glory of the Lord there. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to turn you to quite a few scriptures, so I hope you're pretty adept at turning over scriptures and finding the place. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Now you'd be surprised what leaping fountains of revelation and illumination have come to my mind whilst I've been reading that. So I daren't really at this moment let my heart go, unless you won't get any lunch. And probably no tea. But I want you remembering particularly this verse. 1:2. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. 10. The gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Revelation. Chapter 21. You people will think I live in this chapter, won't you? Well, I do actually. New Jerusalem. Verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Amen. Now when I was a boy, under very, very sound Bible expository teaching, I was told that that was because seas divide, you see. And therefore God removed all divisions in the new heaven and the new earth, because seas are divisive. It's all according to the way you look at it. They could be that which links. It's only the point of view, often, that will alter your exposition. The thing that ought to alter it should be revelation. and not a point of view. We're suffering from point of view in Bible exposition. It's a terrible blight in the churches. What you did see, beloved, is that there was a time when God started from water. Waters. The Spirit of God, see where it was moving, over the face of the waters. That's how it was originally. And then God divided between the waters, which were above, and that which were beneath. And then God gathered the waters beneath into one great vast sea. Alright, of course we call it the sea of this, the sea of that, the sea of that. It's only one sea. We call it an ocean sometimes. Sometimes we call it a channel. But it's only one great sea. And you know, when God did this, beloved, and God intends us to understand these lessons from nature, when God did this thing, he did it with a perfect point of view. Listen, one sea, really, only one sea, and the Spirit of God moves over the face of the waters. That's where the Spirit of God was. Is that right? Exodus. Chapter 30. And here we're coming to the construction of the tabernacle. And in the construction of the tabernacle and its various parts to make up what we call the tabernacle. Verse 17, the Lord said unto Moses, spake unto Moses, saying, thou shalt also make a laver of brass, and his foot, and so on and so on. Verse 19, Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet at the laver. Now you know that the laver was a brazen bowl, and it was placed between the altar and the tabernacle. And we're told that Aaron and his sons had to wash their hands and their feet at this laver as they went to and fro the burning, bloody altar and the tabernacle of God. All right. Then we turn over our Bibles and we come to 1 Kings. And when we get to 1 Kings and chapter 7, we read that Solomon, this time building the temple, Solomon in verse 23 makes a molten sea. Do you see that? A molten sea. It was brass that had been in the fire, and he made what was a laver, a little washing place, a little sort of a wash hand basin in the tabernacle. He makes it this time into a sea. And the Spirit of God moves upon the face of the waters. I want you to keep this very clearly in your mind. That's where the Spirit of God is moving. And in this wonderful sea, Aaron, you will find, if you read the Leviticus letter, of course it's not Aaron by this time, but we're taking Aaron as the symbol of the priesthood. Aaron and the priests, or whoever followed, they had first to be bathed entirely, and this is what Jesus meant in John chapter 13. When he said, he that is bathed only needs to wash his hands and his feet. He's speaking of the priesthood. Amen. Is that right? Only needs to wash his feet, he said. If you've really had your bath. All these priests had to have their initial bath, glory. Their complete total immersion and scrubbing all over, hands and foot, and his. And that was that. Then after that, they only ever needed to wash their hands and their feet. And their ceaseless journey between the altar and the temple, the inner temple of God. They came as near as they could to it with a veil between. You will remember? Amen. Then I would like you to turn with me into the Revelation again. And in the book of the Revelation, chapter 4, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass, like unto crystal. The waters above the firmament. I want you to let your mind run to and fro. Let the Spirit have your mind. I saw a sea of glass, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And there you see a sea of glass. Remember that it was Solomon turned it into a sea. All right. John starts off by saying, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Spirit moves across the face of the waters. And there in heaven, you see as God, as John is given a glimpse by the Spirit into things as they are in heaven. He first of all sees the throne, him that sits on it. He sees elders, and he sees all sorts of spirits, burnings, and all kinds of things round this glorious throne with the inscrutable God upon it. Hallelujah. And the rainbow round the throne, the great evergreen, everlasting totality of God, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, except that we'll see something in a moment about this sea. There's no one on it. There's a great place of reservation in heaven. You see the throne, things all round it, beings all round it, all sorts of things. But there's that great sea, all reserved. All right, chapter 15. And in the 15th chapter, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God who made the first little laver. All right? And the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvellous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of the ages." Hallelujah. And so we see now, here is the sea, and there are those that are standing on it. It's not now in a molten laver, but the sea itself is shot through with fire. Praise the name of the Lord. And we're seeing the people for whom this space is reserved. Those who have the victory, those who have the glory over the beast, over his mark, over the number of his name. I don't know what importance you attach to that, or think it must only come in a certain period of history. I am not touching historical or futurist interpretations of Scripture. I'm not concerned about that. I'm only wanting you to see the people that occupy that glorious place. And then, beloved, if you turn back with me into the epistles, and you come to the book of Titus, you will read this, verse 4 of the third chapter, "The kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the laver," you've got your word washing there, "by the laver of regeneration." Now you understand what the laver and what the sea were then. And the Spirit of God moves across the face of the waters. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And in heaven, you see, there's a space there. And this is why these things were put down on the earth. The original laver, which became a sea, and it was from the sea it all starts in the beginning. The Spirit of God moving over the face of the waters. And when God wanted to bring this creation, this great generation of natural earth things into being, he started from the waters. Amen. That's where he started. And when God wants to bring into being his great spiritual creation, he starts on the waters, the sea now, blessed be the name of the Lord, of regeneration. Glory to be to God. We've all got to go through this tremendous sea. And then in the end, when we're in New Jerusalem, the sea's done away with it because it served its purpose. For the New Jerusalem is the great city of the regenerate. It is not now a crystal sea, clear as crystal. It's a clear as crystal city. There's no more sea now. It's all been done. It served its purpose. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you that the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters, the face of the deep glory. That's where he is. And before the throne of God this morning, there's that space it's just reserved for these. Glory. Just reserved. They have the full view of the throne. They're there. All the living creatures can be round. All the elders, hallelujah. The seven great spirits of God can be there. But all glory. For those who stand there. Now, Jesus tried once with Peter to get him to stand on the sea, but he couldn't. Do you remember that? He tried to get Peter to stand on the sea, but he couldn't. At least, only for a little while. He started to walk and then, oh, he was gone. He thought. But Jesus only gave us little glimpses. In his earthly life, you must always remember, he gave little glimpses. So when he picked him up, he put him in the boat. He said, "But I've shown you, Peter. For those that have the spirit of inspiration and revelation, they can see what it's all about." He was trying to get this man to stand on the sea. And he couldn't. Why? Because he wasn't regenerate. He wasn't regenerate. Hallelujah. Do you see that? Glory be to God. Jesus is also in this. Remember when he went up the Mount of Transfiguration? Just for a moment, they lifted the veil and he allowed three men for a moment, Peter, James and John, to see, and then down comes the veil again. They couldn't stop there in the glory. They weren't regenerate. They didn't belong. Do you see? But we, beloved, glory, the sea solid under our feet. It's a sea of crystal, shot through with fire. Amen. And whether or not, I don't know whether you think that they believe in the amillennial theory, or whether you believe in the premillennial theory, whether you believe in the postmillennial theory, or what you want, that doesn't make any difference at all, beloved. I tell you what quality of life have you got in you? Would it overcome the devil? Would it overcome the beast? Would it overcome his mark? Or would you accept the mark of the beast in order to live? Say, well, we've got to live on this earth. Would you accept it? Or would you rather starve to death with no Oxfam to help you? Rather than have the mark of the beast on you. Rather than sully your hands. Would you? You'll know whether you've got the quality of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And only those that have got the quality of the life of the Lamb will stand there. But here's the place this morning, beloved. And I want to know this. It's reserved for us. This is the same sort of thing that Jesus was saying through Peter. Speaking of him who was raised from the dead to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you who are kept in the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And so God has given us a glimpse into the wonder of this place there that angels can't walk on. The saints of old aren't there. It was just this wonderful sea there in front of the throne. Hallelujah. Glory. And I want to say that it's on this great labor of revelation, of regeneration, it's in this great sea of life in God, this marvelous fullness and effulgence and abundance of the collecting together, if you like, of all the blessed innate qualities and powers and abilities of God. And it's all been brought to us in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ is my labor. Jesus Christ is my sea of crystal. I'm standing on him. I am in him. The Holy Ghost immerses me into that glorious labor, into that molten sea. He immerses me into that wonderful, glorious crystal purity that was there because the burnings of God's wrath and judgment came on the man Christ Jesus, and he was melted and in judgment, glory, and inside him, beloved, molded in a wonderful sea is all the glory of his eternal, incorruptible life. And I'm immersed in that. I come about it and I stand on it. It's solid life under me. It's wonderful, glorious purity under me. It's crystal, it's clear, it's transparent. And I stand on it and don't cast a shadow, because I'm as transparent as he. I stand before the throne. I say, yes, I see the emerald rainbow, Father, that which was promise and hope in me. To me, from thy throne, is now real in me. There was the emerald rainbow. See the great promise there on that throne, and the empty sea. Next time you don't see the rainbow, what was promise in rainbow has become reality in my life. And I'm on this sea. I stand here. I tell people this over and over again. People come to me and they ask me all sorts of questions. I say, now look, I want to tell you this. I said it during the course of this last conference. Some of you might have been at the table when I said it. I don't know. This was table talk. It's good to have table talk as well as 2 foot tall. I said, you see, I never move away from the laver of regeneration. I don't move from it. I always stand here. Let others stand where they want to stand. Let them go and say what they want to say and be what they want. I never move from this. Because that's before the throne. Yeah, yes. I've been baptized into this glory. I shall never move from it. There's some here, I suppose, this morning that must have heard me saying this 20 years ago, and I'm still here. I'm still here. Bless God. Amen. See? And it's life. It's all life. And it's glorious. And they can all sing all round the throne, and they can all worship, and it's all so marvellous. But sometimes the breathtaking view as I look up into the face of Him. Oh, it's not only having the treasure in earthen vessels, it's having the glory in your mind. It's having the thrill of the understanding, of the unveiled yet still inscrutable face of our God. He looked like this or he looked like that. But it's our God. It's all so marvellous. And so, in the end, he said, I saw the new earth and I saw the new heaven. And there wasn't any more sea. Amen. It's all done its work. Regeneration, seas, lavers, original sea over which the Spirit of God, it's all had its being, it's all had its function, and now it's all fulfilled. Glory. Seas aren't the divide, they're a place where you stand. To be right near, there to join and to link. That's right. And that's the link. That's the only link. God has done this tremendous and wonderful work in you to make you stand there and never move off it. Is that right? Now this is for the priesthood of the new creation. I can't go into this now. This is the company of priests and kings for the new heaven and the new earth, for they're going to worship God in the original system of worship that was in heaven before the earth was, and before sin was, and before the fall, and before the necessity for Calvary, before the necessity for the crown of thorns and the spear, restored everything back, and we, wonder of all wonders, brought into this amazing reach of God to bring us into this and to bring us there. That's why you've got to learn to worship now. You've got to learn to worship. Oh, you must worship. You mustn't get into stultified forms or denominational ideas. You've got to learn to worship. Hallelujah. Abandonment.
see then.
Worship, oh, worship arises not from an appreciation of something that's happened in the past, you know, that I was a sinner and God saved me. That's a marvelous thing. But worship arises from the full flooding of the light and glory of God pouring upon you in the instant, unclouded, nothing between, flooding down upon my soul. But worship isn't because of memories of the past, but it's anticipation of the future. And that will revolutionize your meetings. That will revolutionize all your meetings. For nearly every time when you come to a morning work meeting, it's, oh God, you see, it's all memories of the past. But he didn't say do this because of memories of the past. He said do this in remembrance of me. And Jesus Christ isn't back there. He's up there. Remember that he's up there. He's in the throne. Remember. Oh. You see, you're remembering what he did. Remember me, he says. When a man said to him, Lord, remember me, what did he say? Oh, I don't remember all your past. He said, be with me in paradise. It was the future. He was taking him on. Glory. Is that right? He says, well, you remember me. I said, so thankful I used to be a wicked sinner. Now quit it. Either you're a saint or a sinner, and let the memory of it go. Come on. And glory. It should be the irradiance of the Lord flooding down. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's hardly one in a thousand. You may think I've put the percentage very low that know anything about it. This is what I discover, and I move around a tremendous lot. Oh, to be there. Well, the Holy Ghost has done the work and you're standing on the sea. You don't have to keep on having a new dip. You're standing on the sea, free and glorious. Your arms and your heart and your face and your voice. Have you got a soaring voice yet? A voice that soars. It's the clearest tone of your spirit. That's right. You won't impress anybody by these sort of sonorous tones. You won't do anything. But if you soar, you'll take everybody with you. Everybody's wanting to go soaring because somehow we feel this is our natural element. See, old John couldn't get there till he said, I was in the spirit and I was called away. I didn't turn around and say, thus saith the Lord. Ah, beloved, give me one soaring spirit and I'll gladly leave a million others. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. The Spirit of God was moving over the face of the water, came down and fluttered low down over the great sea level, whatever level that was. But now he lifts us up. Glory, get to Revelation, not Genesis. Everybody's living in the Old Testament. Their conceptions of New Testament things are Old Testament. The drag of the old. Oh, the soaring spirit. Look, will you forgive me if I say this? It might be the last thing you'll hear me say for months and months and months. Agree not to read the Old Testament for 6 months while I'm away. What's this man trying to tell me? Is he a heretic? Agree not to read the Old Testament, see, for 6 months and see what it'll do for you. Oh, but I like to gloom away in those psalms that speak of... Oh, but they're precious, they're inspired of God. Yes, so's the New Testament. That suited that age. It's always consistent, except where a flash of prophecy and illumination comes through, pointing to Jesus through it. It's always the true state of what was then. But the true state of what is now, pouring down upon us. I don't think my wife and I ever read the Old Testament, anything in the Old Testament for our readings together, Perhaps we may once a year read one of the books. Oh, we go through the Gospels and through the Epistles and blessed be the name of the Lord. That's our readings. Amen. To live there. Hallelujah. It's all going on. And then, you see, you sort of understand this. This sort of comes in the back way. When our sister prayed this morning, all this business from Genesis and all that came in here. You don't have to study it. You know it. Because you'll live there with the Lord. Now, are you standing there? Now you know that nobody that stands on that sea has their back to God. That's what it's reserved for. Amen. There we stand. Lord. Lord. And if sometimes when we're in India, you think of us and what we might be reading, will it be the New Testament? We're in the new covenant of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's right. We're in the new covenant. Yeah. Are you? Are you standing on that sea? Solid under your feet. One great first immersion. Praise God. So that there we stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then there'll come a time when all that was first a sea of crystal. You see, you just saw the throne and the sea of crystal. Then you saw the crystal city at the end. Is that right? This is the unfolding of the revelation. And the throne there. And the Father and the Lamb. No more sea now. You've got to see the way the Spirit of God moves. When everything is accomplished and all has passed into complete fulfillment. Now that's got to be fulfilled in you now. And if I said to you, every one of us this morning that's there, stand up. I didn't say because you believe it, but because you're experiencing it. It's there. Where you've got to be. Are you there? Now you may not have heard it put like that before. I sometimes say the usefulness of chaps like us is just that it can be said this way, but it doesn't matter about whether you've heard it that way. You've got to know whether hearing it you say, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've been here for years. I didn't sort of know it sort of thing, but you know, not like that. But yes, glory, hallelujah. As a certain old elder used to say, the bell rings. Inside, the bell rings. Amen. Now let's pray.